What's going on, everybody? This is your host, Kendall Callaway, with another episode of the Callaway Sports Podcast. I got a good one lined up for y'all today, man. We got an NFL episode. We're going to go into some of these games. We're going to predict some of these games. I'm going to tell you why I have this team winning and why I don't have this other team winning. But I got a good one lined up for y'all. I know it's been a long time since I did a NFL episode, so should be a good one, man. Callaway Sports Podcast. Let's get right into it. Y'all know what that mean. Y'all know exactly what that mean, man. It's football time, man. Let's jump right into this football segment. We're going to jump right into these games, man. First up, man, I got the Falcons and the Bucks. It's pretty much kind of an easy one for me, man. I still understand why Atlanta has chosen to keep Desmond Ridder as their QB1. Nothing against Desmond Ridder. I think he's a decent player. I truly feel like they could have done better. And I think that may be what's going to keep them from being a good team. They got good weapons over there with Drake London and Kyle Pitts. But y'all have a quarterback that can get these guys the ball. So obviously I'm not taking Atlanta to win this game. I think the Tampa defense will be too much for them. I think Tampa will make it easy for Baker and the offense. Obviously I'm not real high on Baker either, but I think Tampa's defense will just be way too much. I think they create a lot of havoc. I think they make things hard for Desmond Ridder today, so I'm taking the Bucks. Next, man, I got the Raiders versus the Bears. That's pretty much another easy one for me. I love DJ Moore, but no Justin Fields. I don't think that they can win this game. Obviously he's kind of been hit or miss this year, but I mean, he's always a threat, and to not have him out there, I don't see them winning that game. I think even with Las Vegas not having Jimmy G, I think they obviously have Josh Jacobs. I think they can dominate with the run game, and you have one of the best receivers in Tay, Devontae Adams over the top. I absolutely think that they just have more tools in the tool bag to win this game other than the Bears. So I'm taking the Raiders in that one. Browns versus the Colts. Deshaun Watson comes back after missing the last two, maybe 3 weeks. I believe it's the last two with the shoulder injury. Obviously, the Colts don't have their first-round pick, Anthony Richardson. He's out for the rest of the year. They did get Jonathan Taylor back, but obviously we couldn't see what, you know, those two could do. I'm not real confident in Gardner Minshew against this Browns defense, and with Watson coming back, I think Deshaun can make some things happen. I think all around, they are the better team, and taking the Browns in this one. Washington versus the Giants is the next one we got up. I think Sam Howell and the Commanders defense edge this one out. No Daniel Jones. I think Saquon would take most of the load, but we all know that Washington Commanders defense, that front line, that front seven, can really, really create some troubles. Chase Young, Jonathan Allen, all of those guys, I think it'll be too much. And kind of, you know, somewhat similar to that Tampa versus Falcons game, I think they make Sam Howell's job easy today. So I'm taking the Washington Commanders in that one. The Lions versus the Ravens. Everybody knows that I am a Baltimore Ravens fan, but I do take bias out when it comes down to sports and my team. But I'm going to take my team in this one, though, regardless. And this is not coming from a biased standpoint. I'm going to give you stats. And one of the most important stats is Lamar is 15-1 against NFC team. So I'm taking the Baltimore Ravens. I think Detroit is a very talented team. I think they showed a lot of promise last year, and they're building on that this year. But I think with the upgrades we have offensively should give them a very tough game. Obviously, I believe Detroit's one of the top teams when it comes down to run defense, and they're one of the top scoring teams. But I think Baltimore and this dynamic that we have with Lamar at first, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, Lamar at the quarterback position, Zay Flowers, OBJ, if we, you know, get those guys rolling. Mark Andrews, I think, I do believe that we give them something that they haven't seen this year so far. So, obviously, I'm taking Baltimore in this one. Bills versus the Pats, another easy one, man. The Bills are just too much. The Pats just, they just don't have enough on the offensive end. Mac Jones doesn't have, you know, a lot of targets to throw to. So, I'm going to take the Bills in that one. Easy. Cardinals versus the Seahawks. Dobbs got off to a pretty good start early on. But he struggled recently. Turning the ball over, I'm going to take Seattle on that one. I think Geno and that Seattle defense will be too much for those guys. And take the Seahawks on that one. Steelers versus the Rams. This will be a good game. I think this will be a good game. I think both defenses really have to execute. I do believe that the Rams are a better team. I think obviously got the more experienced quarterback in Matthew Stafford. You got Cooper Kupp back. I got to take the Rams now. Definitely got to take the Rams now. And I think Kenny Pickett having to deal with Aaron Donald, I think he'll have some trouble. Pickett has shown a few bright spots, but I got to take the Rams now. I think the Rams are just the more seasoned team. So I'm going to take the Rams now, but I think that's going to be a pretty good game. Chargers versus the Chiefs. Another easy one. I think the Chargers, defensively, they spend all their money on Derwin James and Joey Bosa and, you know, a few of these guys over there, and they're at the bottom when it comes down to, you know, just being a true top defense. Nothing's really working over there. I think Mahomes and those guys over there just control the game all together. So I'm definitely take the Chiefs in that one. I think I truly do believe that they handle the Chargers fairly easy. Packers versus the Broncos. I'm gonna take Green Bay in that one. Take Green Bay. Denver's been all over the place, man. I truly do believe that with, you know, the trade deadline coming up and they moved a few guys, but they just don't seem like they have it all together. I think Green Bay defense, Jair and those guys, create some problems for Russell and Jordan Love. I think, you know, he has a pretty solid game today. I just don't see it with Denver, man. I really don't. I just don't see it with Denver. I truly feel that Russell is cooked, man. I love Russell Wilson, but I just don't see how he can just will that team to, you know, wins. It's, I don't know, man. Denver needs something new, something fresh over there, you know, to change some things around, change the culture around, but I don't see Denver taking this one at all. I think Green Bay is just the more polished team. I do believe that Green Bay is, you know, just young, and these guys are just ready to roll. Nice young core over there, so I'm going to take Green Bay in that one. Sunday night game, we got Dolphins versus the Eagles. Obviously, this would be the harder one, the real, real tough pick. The Dolphins, obviously, one of the best offenses in the game. Tua and Tyreek and Jalen Waddle. Most of all of those guys are just running on a, you know, all-time high. Obviously, if you're matched up with Tyreek Hill, it's going to be a tough game. But I'm going to take Philly in this one, man. I think Philly being the more physical team, I think they bounced back from the loss last week. They back at home. I do believe that front line, Reddick, Jordan Davis, Josh Sweat, all of these guys, I think they're just physically a better team than Miami, and I think they create a lot of problems for Tua. I expect them to get some sacks out there. I expect Tua to have to move around out of the pocket, and with that defense getting slayed back this week as well, I do believe that they can, you know, create some turnovers, force some turnovers, dominate this game. I got the Eagles in that one for sure, though. And then the Monday night game, we got the 49ers versus the Vikings. 49ers, one of the best teams out there. Minnesota don't, you know, they don't have their best guy. No double J, no win. It's just that simple, man. It's just that simple. So, those are my picks, man. Those are my picks. Obviously, I'm going to keep an eye on them. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 games. So we're going to see, man. I'm not expecting to go 12 for 12. I'm expecting to get at least 9 of these right. At least 9 of them, though, because I think they're fairly some easy games to kind of pick out. So we're going to see, man. Y'all keep track for me, too. You know, y'all keep track for me, all of my NFL fans out there. But that's it so far, man. I just want to cover some of these games, pick some of these teams, man, and we're going to get into this next segment, man. I know I said this was an NFL segment, but we're going to jump into the NBA side of things. It's been a long time since I've done an NBA segment as well, so stay tuned for that, man. Coming up next. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's get right into this NBA segment, man. I know the NFL segment went a little quick. We gonna ease back into this, man. I know it's been a while since I've done this, but I got more NBA news than I did NFL news. Obviously, man, we gonna prepare better for the NFL topic. I just wanted to ease my way into that and just cover the games. So yeah, man, let's go. The NBA season is upon us, man. Tuesday, we get a new fresh start, a new fresh season of NBA basketball. And one of the main things that I want to cover, obviously one of the big news, is James Harden. We're going to see what's going on with James Harden. Obviously, if you've been keeping up over the past week or two, he's missed practice. He wanted to warm up and play in the last preseason game, which was Friday. That didn't happen. He was out in Houston, so he missed practice. We've known that he wants to be traded. He prefers to be traded to the Clippers. And from my understanding, if you've kept up with Woj, Brian Windhorst, Shams, the offer has been thrown out there. The Clippers did decline. I'm understanding that Daryl Mooney and Philly wanted Terrence Mann and 2 first round picks back. They weren't eager to accept that trade. And are the Clippers making a mistake for not trading for James Harden, man? And it's just, you know, something that you got to think about. Like, will James play another game as a Sixer? You know, we don't know. We truly don't know. It's kind of up in the air. But I'll say this. This will be my take and my opinion on the whole situation. I think James has a history of forcing his way out of places. Do I feel like he should force his way out of Philly? I think from a standpoint, they're a solid team. I think him and Joel can, you know, build on what they had last year. I think they can be a very, very good team in the East. The East obviously is not a very strong conference compared to the West. You know, you got a few key pieces like Dame going to the Bucks and Porzingis and Drew Holiday going to the Celtics. Miami pretty much kind of keeping their core. They got Cleveland, but if you look at those teams, Philly with James Harden is still right up there. A lot of people know I've been very critical, and I've put it out there that I do believe that James Harden and Joel Embiid aren't the best playoff players. The numbers show that, and if you watch basketball, it shows that as well. I'm not really sold on them as playoff players, but at the same time, them together as a whole, I think they complement each other very, very well. And I do feel that James Harden and Philly has run this course with the things that James has said about the owner and, you know what I'm saying, things like that. I don't think that relationship can be repaired. I mean, he says that he's a liar and he, you know, never wants to play with, you know, a owner like him. So I just don't see that James will play another game as a Sixer. It just comes down to where he would go, you know, what team would want James Harden. We've seen this. He's forced his way out of Houston. He's forced his way out of Brooklyn. Now he's trying to force his way out of Philly. And, you know, I don't know too many teams are going to line up for James Harden right now just off of that. He can still play 22-10, 22-12 type of guy. Obviously, he's not the same James Harden as he was in Houston, but he's a upgrade to plenty of teams in the league. But I do feel that the Clippers are making a mistake for not trading for James Harden. I'm kind of torn a little bit. I'm probably 60-40. You know what I'm saying? If we would go on a percentage scale, the Clippers have a good team. They've had a good team for the last few years. But one of the main things that's been consistent with the Clippers have been Kawhi and Paul George missing games. And if a team is only asking for two first-round picks and a guy that's coming off your bench for an all-star player, I would take that trade just for a little bit of insurance policy. You know, just in case Kawhi goes down, just in case Paul George goes down, you can have a insurance policy with James Harden, who hasn't, you know what I'm saying, he has the history of playing games. Same thing with Russell Westbrook. I mean, if you're able to keep Russell Westbrook in this deal, I feel like it's a win. It's a big upgrade. You know what I'm saying? You make it easier on James and Paul. Maybe they don't have the ball in their hands as much. But at the same time, on the flip side and the negative side, James Harden is a guy who has to have the ball in his hands to be, you know, that's what I'm looking for, effective. If you look at times when James and Russ played together in Houston, if the ball wasn't between those two guys' hands, James would just kind of sit back and sit off in the corner or sit off on the wing. There's no real, you know, off-ball cuts or anything like that. But, you know, it's really up to those guys. Terrence Mann obviously is a guy who, you know, hustle guy, plays hard. He's going to play, you know what I'm saying, he's going to play hard every single possession. And obviously is a, you know, a big question with James Harden as far as defense goes, but I feel like it's still a win. When you got two of the best two-way players in the game with Kawhi and PG, when they're healthy, you know, you're really not looking for James Harden to have to play defense. You know what I'm saying? So I do feel that the Clippers are making a mistake, especially with a Western Conference that's stacked. You got the guys out in Phoenix. You got Denver, who are the defending champs. Memphis, once they get, you know, Ja back, you know, they added Marcus Smart to that team. LA made some moves. Golden State and Chris Paul. So I think they should take that trade if it presents itself again. But man, we'll see. We'll see where James goes, man. But as far as this season, this upcoming season, it kicks off Tuesday. I'm going to get into the teams to watch, man. My teams to watch. First up, man, I said this last year. I'm going to say it again this year. I do believe that they've improved even more as a team. And in a weak Eastern Conference, I do believe that the Detroit Pistons can become a play-in team. I do believe that they can be a play-in team. Cade Cunningham stays healthy with that good, solid young core that they have there. Cade, Jaden Ivey, they got the Thompson twin, Marvin Bagley, James Wiseman, Jalen Duren. They have a good, solid young core, one of the best young cores in the league. And then when you factor in that they have a solid, solid, you know, veteran-type coach in Money Williams, I think I truly do feel that Money Williams puts them a little bit higher. You know, I do believe that they can compete with teams within that, you know, 8 seed to 11 seed, and I can see them staying there as long as they can stay healthy. I do believe that that's a good solid team. I've liked what I've seen from the Thompson twin in the preseason. So I would say Detroit, look out for them to be a potential play-in team, man. You know, the East is not that strong. So next, man, I'm gonna go with Utah, another good young team. Lauri Markkanen, I love what I seen from him last year. Those guys, as long as they stay healthy, I believe that Walker Kessler will improve on the year that he had last year. Colin Sexton, if you get him to stay healthy, you drop the young guy like Keyonte George, who I feel, you know, Keyonte, to me, is a dark horse for Rookie of the Year. I think a lot of people will, you know, obviously look towards Wemby and Brandon Miller and possibly Chet. But don't be surprised, as I do believe if Keyonte can get the minutes played, you know, obviously, you know, don't know how many minutes he will play or if he will play. But if they throw Keyonte George out there and, you know, he gets comfortable, you know, look out for Keyonte George. But Utah, you know, they got off to a hot start last year. I look for them to build on that, stay consistent, stay healthy. And Utah, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go much bigger than what I've stated right now. I don't believe Utah can be a big, big force in the West. You know, I call it the Wild Wild West for a reason. It's a lot of top-heavy teams. And, you know, even if you're looking at mid, you know, with Dallas and Sacramento, those teams like that, it'll be tough for them to really be better than those teams unless something, you know, crazy happens. But look out for Utah to be, you know, a solid team also through that, you know, play-in or maybe 6-7 seed, you know, maybe 6 seed, but definitely in that play-in spot. And next, man, I just name-dropped them. Sacramento, man. Sacramento put the league on notice last year. They put the league on notice. Obviously was a top three team, I believe, in the West. Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, those guys, I think they build on what they did last year. They ran into obviously Steph and those guys, took them to game 7, though. I think they build on what they did last year in a tough Western Conference. I think they just have a solid group of a real solid group of guys there. I think they mesh well. I do believe that they're a connected team. I think they can compete with those top-heavy teams. I think they can compete with, you know, Phoenix and those guys. They bring a real good dynamic to that Western Conference. And they're young and they're up and coming. So, I'm telling you, look out for Sacramento again this year. And a potential, you know what I'm saying, deep playoff run. We can see, you know, I can see them getting past some teams in the Western Conference. You know, it's not easy to take Golden State to a game 7. But next and the last team to look out for is Orlando, the Orlando Magic. I think they got their centerpiece obviously with Paolo. As long as he leads the way, as long as Paolo continues to lead, they have I feel like they have one of the best young cores out there. They've drafted well. You know, you get Paolo, you get Jalen Suggs, you get Anthony Black. You're able to get a guy like Markelle Fultz over there. Anthony Black, Jed Howard used to have, you know, a guy who played some years in the league and Wendell Carter Jr. Have a good young core. And once again, I'm going to state it again, man. The Eastern Conference is not that strong. And I do believe if Jonathan Isaac can get back on the court and stay healthy, I think he's obviously a big piece to that team. A 6'10 wing can defend 2-4, 2-5, you know what I'm saying? And obviously they got Franz Wagner there. Cannot forget about him. They have his big brother, Mo Wagner there. So they have a good group of guys. I think this is the year that they start to really put stuff together as a team. And once again, potential play-in team. Can, you know, I do believe they can win more than 35 games this year. And in the East, sometimes that's all you need, you know. In the East, that's all you need. So look out for Orlando this year. I'm also getting to the breakout players to watch this year. And first on my list and first on a lot of people's list would be Jordan Poole. He's in Washington, got traded to Washington. And, you know, the shackles are off. He doesn't really have to play off of Steph and Klay and Draymond and these guys. He's got free reign to pretty much do what he wants in that offense, him and Kyle Kuzma. So I do expect a big year from Jordan Poole this year. I think he had 41 in a preseason game in three quarters. So, man, look out for Jordan Poole, obviously, man. I think he does some big things in Washington this year. I think it's a good chance that Jordan Poole can even lead the league in scoring. I think he can be top three, top five in scoring. Because, I mean, the kid has a green light. You know what I'm saying? He has a green light. So, look out for Jordan Poole. Paolo Banchero, obviously, I was just talking about the Magic and being a team to watch. And I think it's fair to have him as a player to watch. I think he had a very, very good rookie year. I think he builds on that. I think Paolo has a much better year. And I would look for Paolo to be in, you know, potential all-star. All-star votes. So, look out for Paolo Banchero to have a much better year. I do believe that he can be an all-star in his second year. Next will be Mikal Bridges out in Brooklyn. I think when he got traded to Brooklyn and towards the end of the year, we seen really what Mikal could do. Obviously, he was playing alongside Devin Booker and CP3. He wasn't really seen as a big, big, you know, scoring option possibly, you know. And DeAndre Ayton was there as well. So, you know, he was really there as their spot-up threat and to play defense, but he got traded to Brooklyn last year, which sent KD to Phoenix, and he got to Brooklyn, and we're seeing Mikal have 28-point games, 34-point games, 35-point games. You know, he's scoring over 20 and is doing it efficiently. So now, you know, we were able to see what Bridges can really do. You know, we really were able to, you know, we were really able to see his offensive game. So look out for Mikal Bridges. I do believe that he can be an all-star this year as well. Brooklyn, I think, is a good young team. If Ben Simmons can stay healthy as well, I think him and Ben will be able to play off each other perfectly. And last will be Cade Cunningham. I said this last year, but Cade got hurt. Cade Cunningham, again, is a guy to watch. It's a guy to watch. I think Cade can obviously be a 27-7 guy in his league easily. That good young core. I would love to see what Money does with Cade really leading the Pistons. And I truly do believe that Cade is a guy to watch. I think Cade has a big year. Most improved player could be, you know, in the talks. But I do believe Cade can be a all-star this year as well. So those are my breakout players and my faves to win the NBA title this year. I know it's early. I know some things have changed and things happen. Injuries happen. But to me, also, I do believe that Denver can go back-to-back with Jokic and those guys to build on what they did last year. Obviously, they have a lot of momentum and a lot of confidence going into this next season. So, Denver, obviously. A lot of people may not agree with me on this, but I would gladly state my reasons why. Golden State, I'm still having Golden State as a favorite. I've seen predictions and things like that of them maybe being like a 42-win team or 40-win team and being in that like middle pack of the West. Just off of the things that they lack, they feel like, you know, they lost a lot with Jordan Poole. But I see them gaining Chris Paul as a big thing. You know, Chris Paul going over there, a lot of people saying, oh, well, is Chris Paul going to come off the bench, you know, or is he going to start? It really doesn't matter, because whenever you see Chris Paul and Steph Curry on a court together, you like, we're going to see a Davis and Steph Curry again. For real basketball fans, you know that Steph Curry played the two guard when he was in college. So if you thought that Steph Curry was playing off ball in these previous years, he's really, really going to be able to play off ball now because he has Chris Paul on his team. So teams who have to chase, you know, Steph and Klay, you're really going to have to chase them now, you know. So I do believe that Golden State will be a team to watch when it comes down to winning the title. I've learned my lesson. I've never really doubted Golden State, but I won't start now. So look out for Golden State, even still in a stacked Western Conference. A lot of teams are not going, you know, a lot of teams are not going to want to have to chase Steph and Klay all game long. And when Chris Paul is on the court with them, you're going to have to, you know, they have the championship pedigree. They have the coach to do it. They just won the title the year before last. So yeah, I'm Golden State is a favorite to win the title for me. And last, to me, it'll be the Bucks. I think Giannis obviously was a champion in 2020. You throw Dame over there. I think they have a good solid team over there. Would like to see how the coach has them set this year, what type of system they will have in place. But Giannis, obviously, I think he was top in scoring and points in the paint last year. Dame was a top guy when it came down to scoring and pick and roll situations. I think they have a great, great two-man game. It's going to be tough to, you know, handle that two-man game. It really is, you know. How you guard Dame in the pick and roll when this guy can shoot from half court, you know. And if you focus too much on Dame, you got Giannis on the roll and things like that. And then if you try to trap, you know, you got guys like Chris Middleton and, you know, Brook Lopez that they can kick 2 for 3. So I think they bring a very, very good, very good dynamic as a team. I think they make it hard for, you know, teams to really cover them this year. So the Bucks are a favorite to win the title. I know a lot of people was probably expecting me to say Boston or things like that. I just have to see more from Boston. I do believe that Boston is there as well, but I just have to see a little bit more from Boston. And typically those two who are leading the way, you know, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, you just paid Jaylen Brown all of this money for a guy. You know, I love Jaylen Brown and I'm all for guys getting their money, but he disappeared in the playoffs when it mattered most. Not saying he wasn't worth that money. I just don't know if I would have paid him that much money after what he did or what he didn't do in the playoffs, you know. So we will see, man. But NBA season kicks off Tuesday, man. So new season ahead of us. I'm excited. We will see how the season plays out as the months and weeks go. But that is all I have for y'all, man. That's all I have for y'all. It was exciting to get back to NFL and, you know, basketball topics and segments. I know it's been boxing heavy. So I was excited to bring this type of podcast to y'all today. But be sure to share this with all NFL heads, with all NBA heads, man. Be sure to, you know, check this out. And don't forget about my picks. Don't forget about my football picks, man. Do not. But once again, it was a joy to have y'all listening. And until next time, man, I'm your host, Kenan Callaway, the Callaway Sports Podcast. Y'all be safe. Y'all be easy.